Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 11th, episode 785, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Happy Veterans Day, everyone.
And join in as your song is presented. United States Coast Guard.
Well, happy Veterans Day, everyone. Glenn, I absolutely love that you put that together. I love that every single year, and I'm really proud of you for doing that.
I love it, too. I know. I have goosebumps from hearing that every time we play it. And, of course, thank Chad for his service and everybody that he works with. And, that you're a military wife, so thank you for your service, too.
Well, I don't do anything but hang out and watch my husband fly jets and worry about him. So
that's a lot. That's a lot.
I just chew my fingernails. but Thanks.
You know what, though? Jennifer's brother was a Green Beret for 20-some years, and we know what his wife went through being at home all the times he was away in operations. And with the Special Forces, it's even tougher because they don't know where they are, when they're coming home. They know nothing. So, you know, that worrying at home is really, really tough. So, you know, you do go through a lot. You are a military wife. So thank you. And thank you to everybody in our audience and everybody, you know, my dad served and a bunch of people in our family served. And we really appreciate those serving, especially those veterans who are wounded warriors. And a lot of them are taking up horses to get better. So we wish you all well, and we're thinking about you on this Veterans Day. All around the world, not just the United States.
All around the world. And I know that all around the world has had some tough stuff going on, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But, Jennifer, what's going on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, once the weekend of adventures have been reviewed, updated, and filed appropriately, it is time to save some asses of the equid variety, thanks to Anne Firestone from Save Your Ass Rescue. And following a weird news interlude, the Wacky World of Horses, brought to you by High Visibility North America, will launch the Horse Nation soundtrack for the week.
You know, I kind of like this because it makes me feel like I'm 16 again, because we get to say ass a lot on today's show. Hey, before we go on, I just wanted to give our best to everybody, obviously, that is related to or dealing with anybody that was in the Philippines over the weekend with the largest storm in history hitting the Philippines. You know, our landlords are retired military, he's a retired general, and his territory, his area of operation was that area, and they'd been in the Philippines in the specific area that got hit many times. So they were saying, and it was interesting because we talked to them a couple of weeks ago, and we said if there's one place you'd want to go back to after all the traveling you've done in your military careers, where would it be? And they both said the Philippines. So,
wow.
You know, they said the devastation there, just because, you know, the houses are not built for that. No house is built for 200-mile-an-hour winds. Let's start with that. But, you know, they're definitely not built for that, and there's whole entire towns wiped out. And we're just starting to scrape what really did happen there.
Yeah.
We're just starting to learn. So,
yeah,
and I
know,
checked, and, you know, we have a – Asia is – the Far East is our fifth largest listening audience. So
really?
I'm sure we have listeners there in the Philippines as well. So our best to all of them.
Yeah.
And
prayers.
Well, let's continue on with today's show. Let's do a daily winning. My daily winning goes out to an old friend of mine from New Holland, Pennsylvania. I've talked about him here on the show before, but I'm going to talk about him again because he is still on his crusade that we all love. His name is Rodney Hartman. He used to be the police chief in New Holland and actually did some ride-alongs with him and stuff. And we got to be friends over the years. And nice, super nice guy. And I think his daughters had horses. And he eventually became the district judge for all of New Holland, the district justice, a judge. And his mission was to harass the people at the New Holland sales stables to the point where they cleaned up their act. And he, for the most part, has done a pretty good job of it. And he continues, apparently, to do it because in the newspaper, in the Lancaster newspaper over the weekend, this article came out. Two New Yorkers have been ordered to pay heavy fines for the illegal sale of lame horse this summer at the New Holland sales stables. Andrew Keel, 80, was convicted at a summary trial Thursday of animal cruelty, specifically conducting a sale of a disabled horse. District Judge Rodney Hartman, my old buddy, ordered Keel to pay $1,559 in fines and restitution following the hour-long hearing. The other guy that was involved in this had to pay $750. So it was a 10-year-old gelding that apparently was then bought by a Good Samaritan. Actually, I got to give the auction credit. The auction would not sell this horse because they said it was too injured. They would not put it through the auction. So give them credit for that. Mainly because they didn't want to be fined by District Judge Rodney Hartman again.
Right.
So it was sold to a private person, a Mount Joy woman, actually paid $400 for this horse, took it immediately to a veterinarian and had it euthanized. So here's a woman that paid $400 and then paid vet costs just to do the right thing. So Sabina Mattern gets my second daily Winnie. But, you know, So I'm glad to see, Rodney, that you're still fighting the cause in New Holland and still trying to keep the New Holland sales tables straight. So good job.
So is that just like the shadiest sales play? I mean, you've heard so many stories of horses, like Snowman, the $60 champion came from New Holland, right? So is this just like the worst place in the world?
Well, you know, they do put some good horses through there, but there's a lot of meat buyers there, and, you know, a lot of the horses get shipped either north or south. That was the other thing that Rodney put into effect is he had his police department there in New Holland stopping every truck as they came out and in and finding the drivers heavily for what they were doing. He got the Pennsylvania State Police involved so that they were doing it as they got to the highways and just harassed the hell out of them for years. And they have cleaned up their act. Last time Jennifer and I were down there visiting friends and relatives, we rode over, and there were a lot less sick and injured horses than there was 25 years ago. So, and that was, I can honestly say, that was singly Rodney Hartman's doing.
Wow.
It's amazing when you get to be a judge and have some power, what you can get done, you know. And he couldn't even get that done as the chief of police in New Holland, but he could get it done as a judge. So, you know, it has cleaned up a lot. Am I saying it's perfect? By no means. But, you know, a couple of my best ponies I ever bought were from New Holland. So,
really?
You know, yeah, that we bought from New Holland because they were going to end up going to the Killers, too. And they were my lifetime pony Piper I talk about all the time was $100 at New Holland. She turned out I had her for probably 15 years. So
now, you know, that's funny because I bought a pony at an auction also named Piper. And
oh, really?
She was a Shetland pony, and I was probably, let's see, the summer camp I went to had given us a Shetland pony, so we had to go get our Shetland pony a friend. So my mom puts me in the truck, and we go to the auction, which, as a, like, 10-year-old girl, is a really bad idea. So we go, and she puts me in the truck, and we got the trailer attached, and we drive to this auction. And in comes this little Shetland pony, and it's being sat on by, like, a 300-pound cowboy. And they ride it into the arena.
Usually the case.
Yeah. And it's like, okay. So we start bidding on it. We hadn't even seen the pony out there anywhere. You know, we hadn't even looked at it. But we couldn't let this 300-pound cowboy sit on my pony anymore. So we bid, and I think I got it for, like, $60, right? So for
yep.
$60, this broke little Shetland pony is mine. We get said broke little Shetland pony, and apparently it's only broke when it can't buck the person off that's sitting on it, because I get this pony home. This is the buying a pony at an auction when you're 10 years old. This is what happens. We get this pony home. It is 3 years old. It is unbroke. And it is pregnant.
You get a bonus.
What a bonus. Yeah, what a photograph. Ended up, of course, you know, it was way too young to carry to term. So it ended up losing the foal. But the fact that I ended up getting that sucker broke, you know, it broke me a couple times. But I ended up riding it. You know, you're 10. You're like, I'll get back on. It's a Shetland pony. You don't fall that far. But her name was Piper, too, because my other pony was named Pete. Peter and Piper.
But look at it now, though. If you think back, everything happens for a reason, right? You got this pony to teach you how to stay on jet now.
Exactly. No, definitely. I wouldn't trade a thing about it. And the only thing I wish is that we would have had a foal, because I was so excited about having a little baby horse, and I could have grown up with it. We could have grown up together.
Yeah,
one.
Yes, you could have. You could have definitely grown up with it, and I cannot find a damn music. Where is it? Oh, there it is. There we go.
Real
awesome.
Green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like...
All right, you're good.
Just to keep the music going, Glenn, I've got a special song for you, and I don't have a button for it because I'm just going to sing it. My little pony, my little
oh, God.
Pony.
The reason I don't have that music.
Anytime we can talk about My Little Pony is a good time for me. But, however, it's with a sad heart that I tell you that My Little Pony has been beaten into a spot in the National Toy Hall of Fame for 2013 by the Rubber Ducky. Rubber Ducky, you're the one. You make fast times lots of fun.
Okay, that's
God,
pretty sad when
TV.
A little rubber duck meets you into the Toy Hall of Fame.
I know, it's sad as heck. But rubber ducky and chess. So they're like, oh, yeah, at least there's a knight in chess.
Okay, wait a minute.
There is something horsey.
Chess hadn't been in the Hall of Fame, like, from day one? The game that's been played for thousands of years?
Wait till I tell you what is in the Toy Hall of Fame, okay? So Rubber Ducky and Chess beat out 10 other finalists, including Bubbles, the board game Clue, Fisher-Price Little People, Little Green Army Men, the
what?
Magic
They're
eight
not
ball.
In there. I was playing
the
Little Green Army when I was a kid.
Nerf toys and the Pac-Man video game, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and the scooter were all beat out by the rubber what? Ducky and chess.
Every one of those could be in there already. What is in the Hall of Fame? What's in there?
Well, let me tell you. This must be the smallest, lamest museum on the planet, okay? They really need to, like, get some stuff in there, because other toys or games already in the Hall of Fame include, it doesn't say limited to, but include marbles, the bicycle, Mr. Potato Head, Silly Putty, the Easy Bake Oven, and Game Boy. That's a
well,
really lame museum.
Yeah, I hope there's more than that.
Yeah, but you don't have Army Men or, you know, Bubbles. Like
Army men probably aren't in because they're not politically correct. But the Magic 8 Ball's been around since I was a little kid, so that's at least 40 years. You know,
that's like 150 still... years. Good lord, I think old. Sorry, I couldn't
well,
resist.
I'm sure My Little Pony will have its another day to get into the crappy little Toy Hall of Fame.
Now, check this out, though. A museum committee of curators, educators, and historians choose the finalists, and it's based on longevity, innovation, and other attributes. So, apparently, rubber duckies have been recognized as the quintessential bathtub toy since 1970, when Ernie, the cheerful orange Muppet on Sesame Street, first sang the catchy tune Rubber Ducky to his best bath buddy. Did you know that song went to number 16 on Billboard's chart?
Now, I wish I'd gotten that one ready. If you'd warned me, I'd have gotten that one ready.
There's a reason. There's a reason I didn't tell you. But, yes, that went to number 16 on the charts. I'm sure you can, if you really are curious to hear it, just YouTube it. You can do it on your own.
Yeah,
but so that was my
favorite. I have a question. Why did chess? Why did Mr. Potato Head beat out chess, which I say again has been around for thousands of years?
I know.
Potato Head is awesome.
Yeah, but longevity and innovation, like chess has been around for like a million years.
Yep. And played by almost everybody in the world. So.
Jennifer, here's what we're going to do. Can you please put on your list National Toy Hall of Fame and get us somebody from there to interview?
Yes,
we'll do that.
So we can bust their chops about why chess hasn't been on until now.
Yeah, we must learn more. I need to know more about this place. So we'll that's the kind of hard-hitting journalism we bring you here on Horses in the Morning, people.
That's what we're known for. Hey, over the weekend, you know, it's kind of warm still here in Florida. It's still in the 80s during the day. It gets in the 50s at night, but it gets 80s during the day. And my pony had the hairiest pony. I mean, 2-3 inches of hair in some spots on that little boy's body. And it was just like, okay, it was time to clip. So I actually clipped my pony over the weekend. I gave him a blanket cut, which means, you know, kept the top on and took everything on the bottom off down to his hairy little feet.
That
so
means
he looks,
you were too lazy to finish. That's what happens when I blanket clip.
No, we wanted to have him stay somewhat warm during the day. And it came out pretty good. Now, Jennifer helped me. But I did do some, didn't I, Jennifer? I was in there with the clippers. I did learn something, though. When you clip a pony, a little tiny pony, it's hard to get the little nooks and crannies at the low spots because you really have to bend over and get underneath. It's but he was terrific. I wasn't sure how he'd be. I didn't know if he'd go nuts or, you know, be jumping off the walls or we'd need to ace him or what, but nothing. He just stood there and was fine. So he impressed us once again.
So he wasn't ticklish when you did around his sheath area or his belly or anything like that?
Actually, when she got around his sheath, he sort of sighed and relaxed. So I think he kind of enjoyed that, actually. The whole vibration thing with the clippers.
See,
he was kind
of... The truth comes out is you said when she got around his sheath. So...
Yeah, she did his sheath. She didn't trust me to do around his sheath.
Glenn did the less delicate area of the elbow.
Yes, I did. I did belly and elbow. Now Jennifer's going to post the picture of the before and after. Oh, you did that. There he is.
Oh my God, he's so cute.
Doesn't he look cool with the stripes?
Oh my gosh, he's the cutest pony ever. I'm not going to say anything about the lines. The lines are a little. They need a little work, but he
actually,
is
we,
the cutest
we,
pony.
We sort of we're going to review the clippers. We used the new set of clippers, a new brand of clippers we had never used before. On Friday, we're going to do a review of those clippers. We'll tell you what we thought of them. But I thought he came out pretty good, actually.
Oh my God, he's the cutest pony ever. Oh,
he's cute.
I love him.
He is cute. He's surprising us every day. He's just so unhackney-like. You know, every hackney we've had before, you know, and dealt with before, they've been hackney-like. You know, bounce off the walls, jump up. He's just so good about everything. We went out at night last night and put his little blanket on for the first time, which I bought at Equestrian Collections. It's the only place we could find a 60-inch small blanket right now. So we went out and we put it on at night, and he was fine. He was just fine. So, yeah.
Good.
Cute little guy.
Now, Glenn, let's get the full story out there. The first time we put the blanket on.
Yeah, he was a little iffy about it the first time we put the blanket on. We test rode the blanket in the daytime. And he was just a little iffy, but, you know, he came around quickly. We've had a lot worse. If we had tried to do that with our first hackney.
Yeah, there was a problem with the technique, Glenn. That was where the issue was.
Yes, I had bad technique because I'm used to just throwing them up there. I'm not used to ponies that aren't used to blankets. I just throw them up there. I couldn't just throw it up there the first time.
What's the blanket?
What size blanket does he wear? Like, I just purchased a 84 size blanket for the Duke. So 84 was kind of
well,
the size
that's a big
for the
blanket.
Duke. Yeah, it's a big horse. What does he wear?
He wears a 60.
That's tiny.
Yes, we had trouble finding one, to be honest with you. He wears a 60. Yeah.
Even the little pony that I have here wears a 66.
66 would swim on him. 60 fit just perfectly, actually.
That's so cute. That's so cute. Well, congratulations having such a... calm, good pony. That's a great start, a great sign. Well, how is his training coming along?
Oh, great. We had him out last week. We were on the Jennifer Road, and I ground drove him, and we ground drove him around the neighborhood on the roads, and he is so good on the roads. And he really, the only time he spooked a little bit was when a stallion came running up to the fence line right along the road, and then he stopped and looked, and he wanted to go over and say hi. That's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
To go say hi. I said that probably wasn't a good idea. And what kind of stallion is it, Jennifer? It's a Pasifino. So when the stallion comes running over, you know, all puffed up, it's really funny when it's a Pasifino, I have to say. A little leg.
I was
going to
say he's spooked because there are legs everywhere. He's like, what is that?
His little legs are going 90 miles an hour. But we trotted for the first time on command on the road. Down the road, I had a tough time keeping up with him. He actually can move along right now when he trots, and he trots on command. I think he's going to be just fine. I told you we ordered the cart, so that's due in by the end of the year. So by the new year, we should have the cart. So we'll know then how he goes in the cart. He'll be ready for a cart by then.
That's so cool. I'm so excited. Good job on the rescue. See, when you went horse shopping, you could have very easily purchased the fat, sleek, shiny, already trained pony, and you get him home and you just start driving. But you know what? You're bonding with this guy. You saved his life. He is totally appreciative of that. And so he's very sweet to you, and he loves his daddy. And I'm really proud of you for going that route as opposed to I mean, there's nothing wrong with buying the fat, sleek, shiny pony. We'd all love to do it, but your heartstrings were tugged when you went and looked at this one, and I'm glad he spoke to you.
Yep, yep, and he turned out to be the one. I think that the little mare would have been more like a Hackney.
Yeah.
She would have been more Hackney-like,
exactly.
Yeah. And I'm not picking on Hackney. For all you Hackney people out there, and I know we have Hackney listeners because they comment a lot, I like Hackneys or I wouldn't have gotten one. And I like that little attitude. I'm just glad this one doesn't have all the attitude. So,
yeah. He's a little bit lazy. That's the trick. Yeah. Just a little bit lazy.
Yeah.
It's like
yep.
cat people when they say, oh, my gosh, my cat is like a dog. I love this cat. It's like a dog. Well, then why didn't you get a freaking dog if you wanted a dog to
Although I got to tell you, there are times we wish we would have the cat that was more like a dog. I got to be honest.
I know, because your dog's so good. Well, it's exciting. I'm excited for you. One thing that I got a news story for you that is pretty
yeah.
darn funny. Before we get to our guest, you know, the University Cornell University. It is a Ivy League, an Ivy League institution. However, they are in some trouble because Cornell was just found guilty in court of destroying over $200,000 worth of what? Horse semen. That is right. The spoiled
semen. Was it taking up too much room in the fridge?
Exactly. It's like, oh, I don't know what that is. Just throw it out. It looks like it's gone bad. No, they have been, it was 212 units of semen from a Holsteiner stallion. It is not a named Holsteiner stallion, but they were stored by Fox Run Farm in 2004. And apparently it was stored, as the lawsuit describes, in a defective cryogenic storage tank. So it's almost like they froze them, somebody, you know, unplugged the refrigerator, and they all went bad and everything died.
You know what
yeah.
happens to that stuff in the Tupperware when the refrigerator gets unplugged? I wonder if this looked like that.
Gross.
Science experiment.
Gross. So I love this article. The article wrote, instead of watching The Switch for ideas, Cornell optimistically, you know what happened in the movie The Switch, is the friend went to go get it to take it to the girl, and he dropped it. And so he replaced it with his own. So I'm really glad that was not done for the Holsteiner stallion, but anyway,
that would have been bad if they had replaced it. Oh, let's just find this other semen quick, and they end up with Pasofino semen. You know, that would have been bad for the Holstein.
Yeah, exactly. Cornell sent the lady, her name at Fox Run Farm was Lynn Reed. They sent her a check for $2,000 as compensation, and she's like, I don't think so. The jury just valued it at $212,841.83. So, yeah, she sued him. She got her money. And apparently Cornell, you know what's funny is that is only for one student a four-year degree is that much money. So 4 years of undergraduate tuition basically put one kid through school for free. So it's not like it really took that much out of Cornell.
Wow. I have a question that I probably should know the answer to. How long does that stuff keep? This was put in there in 2004. Does it keep forever?
I think it keeps for an incredibly long time. One of my friends just bred her horse to a stallion that died in like 90-something. And so she's got still the straws. I don't know. That's a great question. We'll have to get Jennifer, make another note, get somebody that's repro worthy. We can do the horse health report on Wednesday about semen.
That sounds like a perfect topic for our show. Wait, we're just finding all kinds of good things to talk about here at Horse in the Morning. And you know what's funny is Leslie on Horse Nation posted a very, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a post on there Kentucky Performance Products Weekend Update, and it was all about how much everybody at Horse Nations loves Sources in the Morning. And she gave us a great big shout-out. And now, for all you new listeners that are just listening in for the first time, here's what you get right here. Toy Hall of Fame and semen.
And we're going to talk about asses in a second.
Can't get any better than that. Well, do you want to talk about Omega Alpha here for a second?
Can you talk about Omega Alpha for a second? As you know, I love Omega Alpha, and I love their products, and I just want to let you guys know that with all of the health problems that Jet is having, I decided that what I needed to do was put him back on Biotic 8, and that is the feed supplement. It's just a little scoop, and you just put it in their feed, and it's the one that has all the good bacteria, the probiotics that he needs, because he's currently on all the Gastroguard. He's about to start the Panacure Power Pack. I just thought, you know, I should kind of buffer his stomach with some good probiotics. And I've also put Edward the racehorse on it. And I got to tell you that, you know, I've had him for a year, and he still has looked like a racehorse. Like, he never gained that weight and got kind of big. So I've actually started him on it as well. And I'm not kidding you guys. He's already picked up weight. From just being on a Biotic 8 from Omega Alpha. So if you have a horse that you think that maybe, you know, is not as thrifty as it should be, or it's not kind of thriving as well as it should, or you're just kind of colicky off and on, or whatever you think it needs, Biotic 8 could be the key. I mean, everything starts in the horse's gut, and this puts all those good bacteria back in the horse's gut. It's Biotic 8. You can find it at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Very good. Thank you, Jamie. Well, Jennifer's still trying to get our guest on here. She's trying to round up Ann from Save Your Ass Rescue. So maybe she's out playing with the animals. We'll find out here in just a minute. She's going to work on getting her on.
She's actually probably being overtaken by zombie donkeys. So
I think that's what it is. That's what it is. I worried about having her on in the first place because you know how I feel about zombie donkeys. We'll find out. We might see a news report tomorrow, and that's why she wasn't on today. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I got news for you if you want any more, or you have one.
Yeah, why don't we do some more news while we're waiting?
Well, some good news for you. Ablouissante, Zenyatta's sister, has returned to Hollywood Park after being purchased for $2.1 million in Keeneland. So the mare was in California. They shipped her to Keeneland for the sale, and now she's now been in a trailer and shipped all the way back across the country to go back to Hollywood Park, where she is in training with John Sheriffs. And, you know, it's a half-sister to Zenyatta. She's raced a couple times. She's done well, but then the last time she finished last out of six in the Shoei Handicap because she was unruly at the gate. She broke bad. She actually ended up with a bunch of scrapes and some broken teeth. So she was in light training before shipping back out to California. So she's not been just standing around. So hopefully we'll see her in a race here soon. And, of course, you know, who knows where she's going to go. She might move to Santa Anita after Hollywood Park shuts down because it shuts down at the end of this meet. So if you are in the Hollywood area, you might want to go check it out. Hollywood Park, one of the last races ever, is coming up. So the last meet is going on. So if you want to see it before they shut it down and it becomes another mini mall, because, you know, we all need more mini malls.
We need another
one. Go check it out.
Yeah.
I know.
Did we ever learn what it is? What is happening to it? Do we know?
Yeah, it's becoming a mini mall.
Oh, is that really what it is becoming, huh? Yep, that's what they need in Hollywood, more shopping.
I know. It's just, you know, they don't have enough to buy out there.
Well, for all of our British friends, there was they do a Sportswoman of the Year every year, and I'm happy to report that there is an equestrian on the Sportswoman of the Year 2013. This is put out by the Sunday Times, and the in the running are cricketer Heather Knight, cyclist Becky James, bobsledder Shelley Rudman, triathlete Non Stanford, and equestrian Charlotte Desjardins. So I think Charlotte won the FEI award last week, and she could actually take Sportswoman of the Year in England here this year as well, and making an all-equestrian year over there in England. They certainly have, they certainly do deserve it, and she certainly deserves it. So I hope she gets that. Best of luck to her.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be, you know, anytime you can thrust an equestrian into the actual sporting world, you know, spotlight, I'm all for it. Now, of course, this would be way more common over in Europe because they actually treat, you know, equestrians like athletes, as opposed to hear people go, "What's dressage? What's this
right,
dressage
exactly.
thing?" So,
exactly.
I think
you
she's got
horses?
A good shot. Yeah. What?
How hard
what?
Is that?
The horse. The horse does all the work. You don't
That's
do
right.
that.
That's right. Easy. Hey, there's another one, too. I wanted to tell you about this. You know how we always do the rescue stories? And you know how sometimes the newspapers don't – speaking of not getting things right, well, newspapers never get the horse stories right. We've talked about that in the past, right? And,
right.
you know, we've stopped doing rescue stories unless they're unique. Well, this one's out of Williston, New Hampshire or Vermont, I forget which. But it's up in the New England area. And there was a horse got stuck in the mud. There's nothing unusual about that. His name's Tommy the horse. What caught my attention, and they got him out. He's fine. Everything's good. Well, what caught my attention, see if there's anything that you can find that's a little wrong with this first sentence. Fire and rescue officials teamed with local private contractor to rescue a 2,600-pound horse stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
Anything
when you
wrong
posted
that,
that I read it, and I was like, 2,600 pounds? What is this, like 1.5 Clydesdales?
And the picture was of like a regular-looking, like maybe quarter horse. So
oh, was it really?
I got to tell you. Yes. And the poundage a little off. My last Percheron I owned was 18.2 hams and weighed 2,200 pounds. So this thing would
really?
Have to be really, really, really big. Let me tell you, really big. The tallest horse ever recorded was a Shire, we talked about this before, named Samson. He stood 21.5 hands. He's over in England. Samson is also recorded as the heaviest, weighing in at 3,300 pounds. So that's only, you know, that's only like 600 pounds less than that. So, yeah, the newspaper gets it wrong sometimes. That was my whole point. It was just funny when I read it. And
that
we do have
funny
our guests
and...
on.
Oh, good.
Yeah, let me take our guest. We have Ann Firestone on with us today. Jennifer actually found her as she was looking through the exhibitors at Equine Affair, and, of course, the name of the rescue came to our attention. It's Save Your Ass Rescue, and it just gives us a good opportunity to say ass a lot on the show today. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
And you must have thought of that when you named it Save Your Ass Rescue. You thought it was going to get you attention. Has it worked?
It has. It has. Our full name is Save Your Ass Long Ear Rescue because we rescue asses as well as half asses, that being mules and hinnies, relatives of the ass, which is the proper name.
Well, we certainly
name
know
for
a lot
animal.
Of half asses, let me tell you. Do you rescue
sure you
humans
do.
That are that way too, or just animals?
No. They've got to have the animal component there.
Okay. All right. We'll just check. So
okay.
Why don't you mules?
Because they're kind of like the invisible horses, I think, especially donkeys. They just don't get enough attention. They suffer from a lot of the same plight horses are suffering from these days, mostly because of the economy, I think, where people just can't afford to keep their pets anymore, or a situation comes up in a family, a divorce or a death in the family, which forces people to have to surrender their animals. And until, at least in New England, and as far as I know, before we came along, there was no place for those people to do that.
I got to tell you, we live in an equestrian neighborhood here in Florida, and everybody has horses pretty much. And three of the farms right around us, I mean right beside us, have
uh-huh.
donkeys.
Yes, they're wonderful
and,
companions for horses.
Well, let me ask you. This is what I've always wanted to ask. Twice, and this is like clockwork, twice a day they go into their braying frenzy where you can hear them 2 miles away.
Yeah.
What causes? What timing is that? Is it feed time? Is it what?
Probably.
Why are
it's probably feed time, especially since it's twice a day. I'm assuming morning and afternoon. They do know, appreciate a routine and look forward to it. A meal time like we all do, and want everybody to know. Hey, don't forget about me. It's time to eat.
Now, do you?
So that would be my guess.
Well, that's what I kind of figured, because it's like clockwork twice a day, and boy, you can hear them about 2 miles away. And
it's
they're
amazing,
not that big,
isn't it?
Girl.
Yeah.
Your place, do the neighbors love you?
Well, my neighbors do, actually, because they run a sawmill, and we joke that our noise cancels each other out.
Okay.
So it works well for both of us.
The only thing louder than a donkey farm would be a sawmill. So
there you go.
That's awesome.
But, yeah. No, as a rule, they're not all that noisy. They are, as you said, at certain times of day, usually feeding time. The animals at the rescue will often go off braying when a trailer, like if new animals are coming in and a trailer pulls into the yard. They know new friends are coming, and they get pretty excited about that. But as a rule, they're not really that noisy.
So I have a question, because when I lived in Kentucky, there were, you know, they have all of those huge pastures full of million-dollar yearlings and babies, and every once in a while you would see a donkey or an ass or a half-ass out there with them. And is it true that they will protect from coyotes horses?
Yes. Many of them will. I will only adopt out animals as guardians if I know the animal has been with small stock before. Around here, most people want them to protect sheep or goats, flocks or herds. So if I know an animal has had that job in the past, or if it's a young, gentle female donkey, I will place a pair of them to guard livestock. They're very good at it. They have a very strong sense of territory, and they're very aggressive toward anything they think does not belong in their territory. They will go after the genets. A genet is a female donkey, and she will go after a predator with her front feet. They strike at it and then actually pick the animal up in its mouth and shake it like a terrier shakes a rat. It's pretty impressive to see. They're very strong, they're very fast, and they're very attentive to what's going on in their surroundings.
Right.
Jamie has chickens that are always getting eaten by coyotes and stuff. Do they guard chickens?
They do, but sometimes also they think that chickens are kind of fun to chase as well. But I do know people who have donkeys who will protect their chickens.
Wow. Well,
there
so,
you go,
know,
Jamie.
I believe you simply because, Boomer, we have a dog that is probably one of the most annoying herding dogs ever. Because his favorite thing to do is herd things on the other side of the fence. And we have a neighbor that rescues donkeys and mini donkeys.
Uh-huh.
So she has probably 8 mini donkeys. And he likes to sit on our side of the fence and run back and forth and harass the mini donkeys. And they get so mad and they run up stomping at the fence and they try to kill him on their side of the fence. Oh, yes. They hate him, and I thought,
that's what they do.
They think he's a coyote or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's funny.
So that
begs
the question. No, wait, let me finish up.
Okay, go ahead.
So do they know the difference between dogs and donkeys, or
dogs and coyotes? They can be taught to be respectful. I have dogs of my own, and I can go out with my animals, you know, when I'm tacking them up, or sometimes two of my German shepherds come with me when I ride. They can be taught, the dogs and the donkeys, to get along with one another. But that said, if my own dogs who know my donkeys were to go in the pasture with unfamiliar donkeys, I would not trust the donkeys not to go after them.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying? They can be taught to accept certain dogs.
But as a rule,
I certainly wouldn't let a strange dog get in a paddock with a donkey.
Now, you are in, Save Your Ass Along Your Rescue is in New Hampshire, right?
Correct. South Acworth, New Hampshire.
So they must do pretty well in the cold, and they usually get pretty hairy, the mules and donkeys, don't they?
They're like the woolly bear caterpillars. You can tell winter's coming because their coats start to get thick. We joke that the donkeys don't shed out like horses do and get really slick and shiny in June. They start to lose their hair a little bit, and we joke that they start to shed in June. They start losing their coat, and they start getting they end by September. And at the end of September, the new one's starting to grow in again. It takes them a long time to shed out and no time for it to grow back in. So they're pretty woolly.
I'm looking at the pictures on the website. There's some cute little donkeys.
Oh, there's some real cuties.
Now, do you get them like most typical rescues when they come off of farms that they aren't being fed or that kind of thing? Where do you get them from?
We actually, my biggest, we see very little abuse, thankfully. I mean, we do get some who are going to ship to slaughter, but most of our owner surrenders come from people who have fallen on hard times, either because of the economy, because of a death in the family, because of having to move, a divorce, something like that. And rather than not being able to feed them, a lot of the animals who come in are obese. They're just, there's a lot of misinformation out there on how to feed donkeys who have evolved from a desert animal that got by on very minimal forage. And a lot of people practically kill them with kindness. You know, people think they're doing them a favor by feeding them the way they do when in actuality they're not.
Right. Now, see, that's my next question is feeding donkeys. You see so many donkeys. When I worked at the veterinary clinic, we would see donkeys with laminitis because of
yep.
the obesity. And, you know, these are animals that are designed to kind of hold on to every calorie that they get because the way that they were genetically, you know, created
exactly.
they're in the middle
and
of nowhere.
Not,
so
yeah.
they...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah, what you're saying is spot on. They've all evolved from the African wild ass, and their metabolisms are very different than that of horses. They're not small horses with big ears. They're their own, you know, they're donkeys, and their nutritional requirements are very different. I recommend anyone who has the, you know, people like to tell me there'll be a great home for a donkey because they have acres and acres of lush pasture. It's like, no, that's not the donkey's friend. Your donkey's going to need a grazing muzzle to do well in that environment. And a lot of people
right.
feed them grain, which most donkeys do not need to have at all. But I think it's, again, a lot of people think of them as small horses with big ears.
So what do you recommend as a feeding for donkeys? So I can tell my neighbor with all these fat donkeys.
We recommend a grass hay, a white salt block, and fresh water. In this neck of the woods, our soils are deficient in selenium, which is a mineral that they need. So if your soil in your area is deficient in selenium, we recommend a selenium block, which is like equine suppliers make like the big white salt blocks you see for equines. They also make them out of selenium. So that's it. I mean, their dietary needs are very minimal. If an animal comes in very, very emaciated and run down, it may need a little bit of grain to get it back on its feet, but very rarely have to do that.
Easy keepers.
Easy keepers, for the, definitely.
Oh, I got to tell you.
Go
ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, other than the feeding requirements, their basic needs are pretty much the same as horses in that they need to have their feet trimmed every 6 to 8 weeks. They need to have their teeth floated on a regular basis. They need to be vaccinated. They need to have fecal checks done to see if they need worming. There's a lot of similarities in that, the other departments, but they're very different in the food department than horses.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at the website. My ADD kicked in because now I'm looking at the website. I went to SaveYourAssesRescue.org, and I went to the adoption section, and I found Vera and Rosemary. Tell us about a hinny.
Okay, a hinny is the opposite of a mule. A mule is a sterile hybrid created by breeding a male donkey to a female horse. The offspring
okay.
is a mule. Okay, so the only way you get a baby mule is to have a mare, female horse for the mother, and a jack or male donkey for the father. If the breeding is reversed and the donkey is the mother, which is called a genet or a jenny, and a horse or a stallion is the father, the offspring is referred to as a hinny. They look very similar to a mule. It's very hard to tell. Unless I think breeding has been observed, one actually isn't really, there's not a way to tell for sure one is a hinny and one is a mule.
Well, I got to tell you, Vera and Rosemary, I'm a driver, and
uh-huh.
I'm looking at these two going, would they make the cutest driving pair ever? Oh,
well,
my
you can
gosh.
Go right, while you're on the website, you go right to that adoption application page and fill it out.
No.
Those two did come from auction, And I take what is said about them coming from Austin with a grain of salt because there's no way to verify it. But they were said to be a driving pair.
Oh, they are. They would make a one, and they're finer. They're more refined. And
yes,
they're only 13.3. So they would make a
animal.
Wonderful little pony driving pair. They really would.
Yes.
They're cute.
They would, and you're right on that adoption application page.
I want Aspen. Aspen
well,
is gorgeous.
She's amazing. She's
gorgeous.
A beautiful, beautiful animal. She's 17 hands. She's got the temperament of a puppy dog. She's just amazing. I just weaned the baby Easter Bunny, who was born here on Easter, and she's his nursemaid. They're in together, and she's taking good care of him.
And Aspen's a mule, a white mule, actually.
Correct. Yeah.
Rides and drives by these pictures.
Yeah.
Well, the website is saveyourassrescue.org, and we're looking under the for adoption pages. How can people help you?
The biggest way they can help us is to send us money. We're a 501c3 nonprofit rescue. All of our money that we get to run the rescue comes from adoption fees, donations, and the sale of our merchandise. If you're on our website and go to the merchandise page, you can see we have T-shirts and sweatshirts, sweatpants and mugs and stuffed animal toys, some books, a lot of stuff for sale. We give a thorough vet check to every animal who comes into the rescue. They're vaccinated. They're brought up to date. We make sure they have a negative Coggins. If they need their teeth floated, that's done. They're seen by a farrier. So all that costs money. And everyone who works here, we have one paid handyman who comes in and does fixes things that are broken and helps with some of the heavier stuff. But we're all volunteers.
I got to tell
you,
I'm on the merchandise section, Jamie. I'm on the merchandise section, and they have a T-shirt that says, Save Your Ass, Long Ear Rescue on the front. But on the back, it says, The Ass We Save Could Be Yours.
That's one way you could support us. Get one for yourself or your friends. Christmas is coming. Let's go shopping.
Oh, and they have sweatpants that have writing on the butt. You know how sometimes you see girls with writing on the butt? This says, Save Your Ass. So there you go.
I mean, can you think of better product placement?
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us and being on and doing what you do. You know, it's there's so many horse rescues, and I certainly do appreciate the fact that you guys have an ass rescue. And
well,
Firestone, thank you
thank
for being
you.
On the show.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Good
Ann,
luck.
Thanks.
Best of luck in the future.
Okay.
Keep us posted.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
I'm glad we got her on. What fun. She's a lot of fun, too. You'd have to be to
you're
have
funny.
A rescue saving donkeys and mules.
Yeah, you're funny, though, because you're talking to her, and I can tell when you clicked on her website and started looking, because you just all of a sudden, like, you leave. It's so hilarious. I'm like, we lost Glenn. He's off doing something.
I got to tell you.
Glenn, wake up. Come back.
I got to tell you that when I saw the picture, that I, honest to God, if I had room and money, Vera and Rosemary would be heading our direction because, well, they are just a lovely couple. Just really good looking.
That's what you need, Glenn, is a driving pair of basically unbroke donkeys. Poor Beaker, poor pony that you have. He's got enough competition with your life. Don't get another driving pair. Don't do it.
All right. Well, let's take a break for a little commercial here. And then I have a song that I want to dedicate to the soldiers at Walter Reed Medical Center. We saw a report over the weekend that one of their favorite songs at Walter Reed is Hallelujah. And there's a group, band group that was formed out of Walter Reed that one of their songs they sing is that. I don't have permission to play that one, so I can't. But we do have a beautiful version of Hallelujah by Tiffany De Rose, a horse girl we've had on the show before. So I'm going to play that, and this is for all of the wounded warriors at Walter Reed Medical Center and all over the country. We'll be right back after that with the Wacky World of Horses by Horse Nation, brought to you by High Visibility North America.
Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network.
the way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Hallelujah.
That is Tiffany. Oh, shoot. Sorry. Are we done? Are we done here? Okay. She tricked me. That's Tiffany Day, hallelujah. Oh, my gosh, I love that song. I love it. And happy Veterans Day to everybody out there with their past, present, and future service here for our country. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Omega Alpha Equine, of course, sponsoring today's show. And we've got our Wacky World of Horses report coming up in just a second. Glenn, are you here? Jennifer, are you here? Are either one of you here?
I am here.
Where's Jennifer? I'm not here. Sorry. All right. So is Leslie here?
I think she might be. We'll check. Why don't you do the intro and the commercial there?
All right. Well, of course, Leslie bringing us our Wacky World of Horses by Horse Nation. It's all brought to you by High Visibility North America. High Visibility North America are the distributors for the UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrians, horses, and canines. Already the preferred choice in the UK for thousands of equestrians, numerous amount of police forces, and even the Queen's Household Cavalry, the range is now exclusively available in the USA and Canada from High Visibility North America. The entire range is not only functional in that it will keep you safe, whether in the woods during hunting season, while riding on the road or out on the trail, but it's also fashionable, meaning everyone from eventers to dressage and Western riders love it. You know, I read that, Glenn, about the whether you're riding in the woods during hunting season.
Yeah.
I think that if you're riding in the woods, just wear it, whether it's hunting season or not, because there's plenty of idiots out there with guns walking around shooting. So wear it in the woods all the time. Anyway, the range is everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests suitable for year-round, and has already appeared on such riders such as Dan James, the Road to the Horse champion in 2012, and Kim Gentry, the FEI dressage rider at Dressage at Devon. So you can check them out at highvisibilitysportswear.com or follow them at facebook.com/equisafety, E-Q-U-I-S-A-F-E-T-Y. So the High Visibility, thank you for bringing us. And now we say hello to Leslie.
Good morning.
Hi, Leslie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, we're fantastic. How is everything over on Horse Nation, the website that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger?
It really does. We have got some new bloggers on board, and they're just producing some fantastic work. So that I just am really excited about that, and I think it's more worth it than ever to check us out.
Well, I got to tell you,
now,
I think the best blogger was the one that posted the weekend wrap-up from Kentucky Performance Products on Friday.
she must love you guys.
She does. I'll tell you what. Go ahead. Sorry, Jeannie.
Tell me about that article. I didn't see that one.
Well, I know that Kentucky Performance Products, which is also a sponsor of Horse Nation, sponsors your Friday show. So basically we just wanted to give the two companies, well, you guys, both of you guys, which we love, Horse Nation, Horses in the Morning, and Kentucky Performance Products, a big shout out.
Okay.
They did.
Yeah,
they said how wonderful
I literally
were.
Did not see it, so I was actually kind of curious what it was. So I'm going to look for that one. Anyway, so what else is going on HorseNation.com, girl?
Well, we had several fun articles last week. One that I really enjoyed personally, one of our writers, Carla Lake, posted over the weekend, and it seemed to resonate with a lot of readers. It was called Five Things Your Riding Instructor Wishes You Knew. And as someone who, you know, I've been taking lessons for over 20 years, and as someone that has been teaching lessons for over 10 years, I definitely appreciated what she had to say. I think that I'll just go through a few of them for you.
While you're looking for it, I would like you to know that this already has 10,800 views.
It must have resonated with some readers. Maybe I like to think that writing instructors all over the country have shared this with all of their students. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Somebody wrote all this stuff down.
Exactly. I love it. And the number one thing really resonated with me, because it's one of the most frustrating parts of it, and it's be on time.
Man. Yeah, you wouldn't show up to a doctor's appointment late, or your nail appointment late, or hair appointment. We don't get our nails done. I don't know why I said that. Your hair appointment late, whatever. So there's no reason why you would want to disrespect your writing instructor's time by being late to the lesson. And certainly I've had that experience of when I travel to teach lessons, getting to a barn only to realize that the student at the time at which I'm supposed to start teaching them is just now, catching their horse from the field. And I think what maybe students don't realize is that, we sometimes are on a tight schedule. So one late lesson can kind of mess with the whole rest of our day.
I love the fact that the time of the lesson is not when you arrive at the barn. It's actually when you should be ready, packed up, and if you're not riding a school horse, warmed up. And that's totally true. I get so frustrated when the lesson starts at 4 and these people show up at 4. Like, this is your time, people. Let's go.
Right.
Now, are you a stickler, Jamie, about the time? Because I know some instructors are like, oh, okay, well, we'll start when they actually get on the horse, or does it start at 4, no matter what stage of preparation they're on at?
I wish I was a stickler for anything besides horsemanship. they've totally learned that they're like, oh, lesson's at 4, I'll show up at 4, I'll be on by 4:30, and we'll ride till 7. That's sadly kind of how things work, at my place, because they were pretty laid back, and I only teach one lesson in the afternoons now that I've had the kids, so I wish that I was a little bit more of a stickler, and it's probably my fault for allowing them to get away with it for this long, but you know what? After reading this article, I'm changing my ways. We got a new thing here at Flyover Farms. It's all different now.
You just need to email a link to it to all of your students. Be on time, please.
Let's see. If you have 10,800 views right now, if I email the link to all my students, you'll have 10,810 views by the end of the day.
Whoa. Bring it on.
All right. Now, what number two is very true as well, and I even love the way that she wrote this.
Yeah, she writes, have realistic expectations. If you only have time to ride once a week and your horse is a 25-year-old Shetland pony, don't expect to win the Olympic selection trials in show jumping. Set realistic goals and work toward them, whether it's a specific show or year-end award or just riding a better canter transition. That certainly makes a lot of sense. It's as hard as riding instructors try, we're also not miracle workers, so I think that's an important one to keep in mind.
Yeah, number three I think is very important as well, and it's communicate. If you want to work on something special, great, let us know. However, the thing that really gets me is if something scares you or makes you uncomfortable, you need to let the instructor know. Because, what happens with my instructor is I go, that's really scary and that's too big. And she goes, good, jump it twice. But And I pay her a lot of money to tell me things like that. But as a, you know, more beginner, when I need to be pushed, she pushes me. But if you're a beginner and you're learning and you're doing new things and it's making you nervous, I would rather know about that rather than push you through that.
Because that's something that can affect your riding. And there's certain, like you said, there's certainly a time and place for just, you know, sucking it up and kicking and grabbing men and doing it. But also, you know, I think that's definitely something that it's important for instructors to be aware of because it could affect your riding. You know, so that's a good one.
Go ahead. Number four.
Oh, number four is ask appropriate questions. If you don't understand a concept or some instructions, just ask for a clarification. You know, that's what you're paying them money for. There's no point in, just nodding and smiling if you don't understand. But Carla notes, keep the question relevant. In the lesson, when you're paying the money to learn, is maybe not the best time to have a casual conversation about, you know, the meaning of life.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right. But on the flip side of this, as the student, if you don't understand a concept, then ask the instructor. And if the instructor cannot answer the question, then you need to find probably a new instructor. I remember when I was riding back in Georgia, this guy was teaching a lesson in the arena and was telling this girl to be on the correct diagonal. And she's like, why do we have to post on a diagonal? I don't understand. And you know what his answer was? It's in the rule book. I'm like, there is a function for trotting and posting on the correct diagonal. It's, you know,
right.
But to say it's in the rule book, that's not good enough for me. So if you do ask your instructor a question and you get a ridiculous answer, please know that probably your instructor doesn't know what they're talking about, and I wouldn't trust what they say. Have you had that experience,
right,
Leslie?
I've had a lot of really good instructors, and most of them have been able to back up whatever it is that they're saying with theory. It's always a challenge for me as an instructor to make sure that I can do the same thing for sure. And
right.
we're always learning. That's part of the learning process, is understanding why we do something. Because if it's just, you know, do this, then that doesn't really make sense or seem
right.
Anything.
Right. And finally, number five.
Number five. This seems like a no-brainer, but I think you'd be surprised. Give it your best effort. Try your best. Really put 110% into what you're doing and focus your energy on that rather than, you know, arguing with the instructor. Certainly we've all had or been in lessons with know-it-all students, which always confounds me because it's like, if you think you know better, why are you paying?
You're paying me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, really, if you make the decision to have a lesson with someone, I think you come to it with an open mind. And, you know, and if you decide that maybe it's not someone whose system is in line with yours, maybe you need a new instructor, or maybe you need to rethink your system because they probably have more experience than you.
Jamie,
yeah,
do you ever get this
exactly.
One? Kim posted in the post here, one of the comments said, these rules are great, and I'd like to add a few. One of the ones she added is, don't keep bringing up your last instructor and how she did things. It's like, do you ever get that?
Oh, my God. The worst part, I don't think you get that so much from adults, but you get that from kids. And I think, you know, with me teaching a lot of kids, and, you know, I don't teach a whole lot of, you know, adults, mainly a lot of kids that are kind of starting out, and they're like, oh, but my last instructor used to tell me this. And I just want to be like, your last instructor was stupid, and that's why you're not riding with them anymore. clearly that your last instructor was an idiot after you told me everything that they said to you. So I'm like, sometimes I'm like, forget everything you said. Just forget it. You're starting over. It's the way that we have to live sometimes. But yeah, that one definitely resonated with me, and I saw that as well in the comments. And I think they even wrote another one, don't argue. And I like the when you find the right instructor, don't hold back on idolizing them. They deserve it. Yes. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And all of these are reasons why I can't take instruction from my wife, why that's never a good idea. That's the wife thing. Never a good idea, because I argue. It's all me, it's not her.
When you find the right wife, don't hold back on idolizing her.
And the one you can't do when you're taking instruction from your wife is my last instructor. That one never works.
Oh, my last wife.
Oh, no.
My last girlfriend.
Oh, that would get you in hot water real fast.
Yes.
Let's
and then,
go
like,
on.
Beverly said, just to wrap it up, that you know, your instructor should be able to ride by example. So, you know, I definitely agree with that. I think that my coach, the reason I hire my coach is because they can do it, I can do it. But you see so many instructors sometimes at horse shows that you clearly know cannot do what they're telling their student to do. It's much like in figure skating or something where the coach has never been on a pair of ice skates. How do they teach like that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The gymnasts. How about the little 12-year-old gymnastic girls and the guys are all these big, you know, Swedish coaches? I don't get it. Anyway, next topic is rider fitness. I do appreciate this one because this one was – who wrote this one, Leslie?
Let's see. Her name is Biz Dam. She's written a fitness column for us in the past, and it's been a little. She's had a little hiatus, but she is back with her Fit to Ride column, and what she decided to write about, sort of in her first column back, was the difference between being fit and being skinny, and how she sort of struggled with that. Yes. Because they're not, you know, necessarily the same thing. You know, she talks about she definitely never wants to send or contribute to the mentality that I think all women and men too, really, to be fair, you know, are confronted with every day, and that is, you know, skinny is better and skinny is the ideal, and you've got to fit this certain image or this certain, you have to be this certain size. You know, we're athletes, and there are slender riders, and I envy them, but, you know, but I think it's more important that no matter, you know, what your sort of body, natural body shape is, that you're strong, and so that you can be a more effective rider, for sure.
She's actually one of our listeners, and I really liked how she wrote it about the fact that, you know, she was conflicted with herself because she was writing this column on how to be fit and how to be in better shape, but she didn't want to communicate that we all need to be these weighty, skinny girls.
Mm-hmm.
When you go
right.
to a horse show, you see every shape of woman, and you know what? They're getting it done. Like, there's some women that are advanced riders that are not super skinny, and they mm-hmm. are so effective. And so you can mm-hmm. be a different shape and be effective on your horse. I do like the fact that we all need to be in shape for what we do. And obviously you don't have to be 95 pounds to be able to accomplish those goals. So I do mm-hmm. appreciate Biz's column, and I think she did a great job. And I look forward to the ones in the future.
Me too. So we'll definitely have more of those in the future, for sure. Yeah. And then another, I know we dwelled on the riding instructor story a little bit, but one more story that I wanted to point out was we had a real fun one earlier in the week by Cheryl.
34,000 views. 34,000 views for 8 movements that aren't in the new FBI dressage test but should be, and I think that I have performed almost all of these moves.
Everyone,
in a dressage
I was looking
test.
At these. You definitely have.
Yeah, exactly.
With just Jet alone.
I know. Tim, this is his dressage test. He would score a perfect 100 on all these. So real quick, before we run out of time, Leslie, let's go through them.
Okay. We've got the Hi-Ho Silver. We've got, I think I love this one, the way she, her title for this one, The Buck You. Spook at Judge, which is closely related to the Spook at Flower Box, Spook at Realization, Horses in Arena Alone, Spook at Terrifying Noise of Gravel Kick against arena panels, et cetera.
I have seen that one
that's
a lot.
That's the scary one. Oh, yeah, when the horse has never been in a dressage arena and they kick some dirt along the panels that are along the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, you think it's going to kill them.
Terrifying. The snob, when a horse goes around with its nose up in the air, you know, and an expression of distaste. The Bucking Flying Change.
Another popular one, the Bucking Flying Change. That is very popular, yes.
The Bolt. And
Jamie doesn't know anything about the Bolt.
No.
No.
This one's the worst, the Dismount, the Unintentional Dismount.
Yeah, and you know it's bad if you fall off in dressage.
You're just on, yes.
Yeah. And this one's happened to me in a couple of really, truly unfortunate situations. The exit, the premature. You know, these event horses, they're like, huh, that's a tiny fence.
Yeah, that little fence along the edge, that's for jumping.
I will never forget, I was at a horse trial at South Georgia, and I was, you know, the beginner novice test, you canter going into the corner, and I pick up the left lead canter as I'm supposed to, kind of going into the corner, and the horse takes one canter stride and leaps out of the arena, thinking that clearly we're cantering towards this jump that's very small. And
right.
The of course, you're eliminated immediately. And so the judge, you know, rings the bell. I'm like, you know, I'm totally upset. And she comes up. She's like, okay, honey. Well, you're eliminated, but we're going to let you ride because clearly your horse loves to jump. So I got to finish the horse trial with even though I was eliminated. They're like, we're going to let you go ahead and jump, honey. Just work on your dressage a little bit, okay?
Oh, man. Fabulous jumping around.
Yeah, the pictures that go along with this are funny, so we should post this because I know it's not right in the forefront of horsenation.com, so we should post this on our Facebook page. Just the picture of the exit or the dismount. The actual saddle is on the horse's neck, and the rider is in almost perfect position, just about 3 feet in front of the saddle up in the air.
Oh,
so it's hilarious.
Boy.
It's a great
picture.
That is
not going to end well.
So, that's going to end with a face plant.
Yep. Yeah.
But it's very entertaining. Very entertaining. And the Bolt's a good one too. And the Buck You, they're all great pictures. So you need to see that. Again, it's horsenation.com. And Leslie, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you, as always, for having us.
Thank you, Leslie.
Oh. We'll talk to you next
week. And welcome to all the new Horse Nation listeners this morning. We've had kind of a Friday show this morning, which has been a little all over the place. So we hope they liked it. And you come back and give us another chance on Wednesday.
try Friday. Actually,
yeah,
Leslie,
Friday.
If you could continue to tell everybody to call our show on Wednesday mornings, they win prizes if they ask questions, they answer questions correctly. So
I will remind them because
yeah,
that,
you've
was
done
so,
that.
That was so much fun. Oh, absolutely. I love it.
You're allowed to call. You can still call. Yeah, we'll make sure we give you an easy one next time. Wink, wink.
Okay. Wait.
Bye, Leslie.
Bye.
Bye. I don't think
I want to remind everybody that tomorrow morning we are having Endurance Day. So tomorrow is Endurance Day with Karen Chatton, and she has a whole bunch of good guests lined up. Endurance Day continues to be very popular here on Horses in the Morning, and it should be a lot of fun tomorrow morning. So if you're into endurance or Arabians or long-distance riding of any kind, then tune in tomorrow morning. Jamie will be back on Wednesday morning as we play the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. We also want you to get the app. A lot of people have been downloading the app. We had a ton of people download it over the weekend. A lot from Brazil this time, so I don't know what happened, but somebody talked about us somewhere in Brazil, and a lot of people from Brazil downloaded the app. You just search for Horse Radio Network.
I think that the people in Brazil need to know that they're incredibly good-looking and beautiful, and they live in a beautiful place. I'm jealous. The Brazilians.
So you search for Horse Radio Network on the iOS or the Android App Store. Either one, you'll find Horse Radio Network there. And all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network can be found at horseradionetwork.com. I think that about wraps it up for today. Boy, it seemed to fly by today. It's a quick show today.
Well, I'm glad that it went fast for you, because it's, you know, like digging ditches, such a hard job.
Yeah, it's tough.
Whatever.
So tough. And you know what? I didn't hear Babe Luke at all today. No baby Luke.
Yeah, that's because in honor of Veterans Day, my husband is babysitting. Because he didn't have to go to work.
Did he? Everybody wants to know that he made it home safely on the motorcycle halfway across the country.
He did. He got in safe and sound, and the new motorcycle, I'm sure, is really nice. I looked at it for like 5 seconds. I'm like, that's great. I'm not sitting on that for nothing. You can't give
not
me
gonna
the
be riding it anytime soon. You're not going to get your motorcycle license?
No, definitely not. And I'm not sitting on the back of it either, because horse chicks want to be in control, number one. And number two, horse chicks, when we're on a horse that's galloping around the turn, we kind of put our weight in the outside stirrup to help balance the horse. In a motorcycle, you lean into the turn. And after almost wrecking on Chad's motorcycle, the last motorcycle, 3 or 4 times, he's like, why are you leaning to the outside? I'm like, I thought we were supposed to. And so it went poorly the first couple times we tried to ride. And so I've quit. I can't lean in the turn. I can't do it. I feel like I'm going to fall over. I can't do it.
Well, let me tell you, he told me what kind of motorcycle. He got a BMW there that he inherited and had to drive across the country. That was, you know, BMWs are truly the Cadillacs of motorcycles when you want to go fast. So I'm sure that the trip was cut shorter by the speeds he attained driving across Texas.
The only BMW I'm riding in is going to be a BMW, like, you know, fancy convertible Z whatever, Z3, and that's what I'm driving in.
Okay. No, we're not going to get you on it, are we? I didn't like motorcycles much either the time I went on. And I can see why horse women would have a tough time with motorcycles. Because you're right.
I can't lean in. I just can't do it. He was like, why are we almost crashing every time I turn? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, are you leaning to the outside? Why are you leaning to the outside? I'm like, because I'm supposed to.
Well, that's it, everybody. Have a terrific day. Oh, one other thing before we go. We have 2 minutes yet. We have to know how Jeff's doing. He was supposed to get his teeth done, and you were going to get him all kinds of stuff for some creepy worms.
Yes, the stuff has shipped. I got it on Amazon, so it takes, you know, a little while to get to you. So it should be in by the next Wednesday. And I did find out that once he starts the deworming, I can't do anything with him except for maybe walk trail ride for a month. A month!
Wow.
So, I got to be patient. He's looking pretty bad. So I'm hoping that the taking care of the parasites, getting the teeth done, we've changed the speed. We're doing everything we can in hopes that it's not something more serious. And we're just doing some pretty high dollar maintenance right now and trying to get him taken care of. So still here, just still kind of standing around eating and losing weight. So we're hopefully going to get it taken care of. I'm trying.
All right, very good.
Good
luck with that, and we're thinking about you. Everybody's
Thank
been
you
through
very
that
much.
That has owned horses, so, you know, we know how that goes, and hopefully it's just going to get better one day, and you won't know what happened. That'd be fine.
I know. Hopefully that's it. All right, everybody have a great day, spay, neuter, and geld.
kiss your pony on the nose.
Happy Veterans Day, everybody.
Happy Veterans Day.